Good morning. I want to welcome you all to the first, dare I say, annual Innovative Criminal Justice Practices Conference here at the Vermont Law School. My name is Bobby Sand. I am a policy advisor for the Vermont Department of Public Safety on the faculty here at the Vermont Law School and one of the conference co-organizers. When Mark Mahaly was inaugurated as the president and dean of the Vermont Law School, he quoted the futurist and science fiction author William Gibson, who said, "The future is here already. It is just not very evenly distributed." We might apply that same concept to innovative criminal justice practices. Innovative criminal justice practices in Vermont are here already. They are just not very evenly distributed. So today you will learn about a number of those innovative practices, and perhaps by the end of the day, you will have three questions. First, why aren't those programs available throughout Vermont? Secondly, what steps would need to be taken to implement those practices across the state? And third, and perhaps most profoundly, can we really have a fair criminal justice system if innovative practices are not more evenly distributed? We would not be here today without the great work of many, many folks. So first, let me introduce to you the conference co-organizers. They are the folks that have the orange flag on their name tag, although I suspect if today's events don't go well, they'll be ripping those off fairly quickly. First, Karen Gannett from the Court Administrator's Office. In the back, Anna Saxman from the Defender General's Office and a highly regarded faculty member here at the Vermont Law School. To my left, Greg Nagurny from the Department of State's Attorneys and Sheriffs. Andrew Bacharach, a third-year student here at the Vermont Law School and a co-chair of the VLS Criminal Law Society. And lastly, Arwin Gaddis, also a third-year student at VLS and my intern this semester in the law school's unique criminal law clinic. Arwin is the author of a memo that is part of the conference materials on the website that looks at the legal issues of allowing a client to participate in a pretrial services program. She is also the designer of the very cool two-sided name tags. The name tags alone are worth, okay. The name tags alone are worth the cost of your conference registration for this free conference. I want to thank as well Kathy McCullough, Tori Jones, and Kim Evans in the Dean's Office, Martina and everyone at FitzVote for the food service, Lori Dubrell for her amazing work on the website, Bill Bond for his IT support, and Andrew and the whole crew at Buildings and Grounds for figuring out how to fit 200-plus people into this space. Let me recognize as well the student volunteers, Jennifer Hartman, Ben Murphy-Smith, George Selby, Crystal Williams, and Nicole Mazur. They have the yellow flags on their name tag. If you get lost today, they will help you get found. When you have a moment, please introduce yourself to the students. Tell them a little bit about what you do, and then give them a job. Lastly, a very big thanks to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, and the Governor's Highway Safety Program for financial and logistical support. I'm pleased to welcome here today our regional administrator, Michael Gerasi. Mike, where are you? Someplace. And welcome to Vermont Law School, Mike. So by design, you will learn about many different programs today. Karen Gannett described it as a taste of Vermont innovative criminal justice practices. We have an ambitious agenda. We will not get through that agenda unless we are cognizant of the time. Jennifer Hartman, one of the student volunteers, will be the keeper of the clock. She will let the presenters and the audience know when there is 5 minutes left. That would be a good time, presenters, to transition to audience questions if you have not done so already. She will let you know when there is 1 minute left, and she will let you know when time is up. Jennifer is very nice, but do not get her mad. And with that, I will turn over the microphone to Mr. Andrew Bacharach.
Thank you very much, everybody. I first just want to have everyone give a big thank you to Professor Bobby Sand, because this would not be possible without him today. This is an amazing event, an amazing collection of people, and I really think that he deserves a great round of applause for that. And with that, welcome to Vermont Law School to all of you. Welcome home to quite a few of you. I know we have a lot of alums in the crowd here today. So welcome back, and we're glad to have you. We hope to see you here more often as well. The students are honored to have this event here on campus today. This is an amazing opportunity to show what VLS is really about. We've always been known for our environmental program and the passion that our students have for it. But this really shows that our environmental passion really can translate to what the criminal law field is facing today and the problems that alternative justice that we can solve. And when we translate the recognition that we have for environmental law, we're going to be a criminal law force moving forward. You know, I do want to give you a little bit of a state of the union here on campus. The three L's, as most of you may have been at one time, we're all frazzled that we have to take the bar, that the majority of us don't have jobs. So if anybody's hiring, you know, wink, wink, please feel free to extend a hand and an offer and a job. We'd be happy to accept it. The two L's are just getting done with their appellate advocacy, one of the major stressors of our law school here. So if you see any kind of crazed two L's walking around, don't be scared. They're finishing up. They'll be okay soon. They may be looking for internships as well, but they'll get through appellate as soon as they can. And the one L's, I mean, they're just one L, so there's not a lot to say about them. They're just going along their merry way as one L's. I also want to give you an update on the current state of criminal law here at VLS. As I said, we've really become an emerging power in criminal law. And we have the Criminal Law Society, which was founded just a couple years ago. We actually have one of the original founders, Michael Shane, is in the audience today, who's also in the Morse Covetary Law Group. So we thank him for his efforts getting everything set up. We also had the Criminal Law Clinic, which I know some of you have had the experience of interacting with. It's a great program that provides hands-on experience and allows our students to get in the office and really get a taste of what it's like to practice in the field. And then we also have the Criminal Law Certificate that is a new program that our first graduates are going to be able to receive this year. So we have a great emerging power in criminal law here, and it's an honor to be a part of it. So now for the fun stuff. I know everybody has those pressing questions of, where's the restroom? What do I do for lunch? So I'm going to provide that information for you. Make sure everybody's kind of cognizant of what's going on. First of all, the most important thing, restrooms. We have a little bit of an interesting situation here. We have composting toilets. And for anybody who's never gone a composting toilet, it's kind of terrifying at first. It's a big open hole. With that said, if you have phones, keys, anything you don't want to lose, put it down before you go in. Because once it's gone, there's a difference. Just trust me. So hang on to your valuables, please. Very important. The restrooms are located right down the hall on your left-hand side. We only have two stalls in each one, so there's also restrooms a little bit further down the hall in Oaks. So you can go there or upstairs in Oaks as well. So it's a little bit limited in terms of the amount of people it can handle. So if you see a lot of people going, maybe wait your turn, kind of stagger a little bit. And again, hold on to your valuables because nobody wants to dig through. Secondly, lunch will be served around 11:45. Again, we ask that neat, orderly process go here. I know we have a lot of lawyers with us today, so please no pushing and shoving. Just behave yourselves. We'll be able to get through everybody. The lunch is going to take place. It's going to be served in Yates, which is right down the hall on the left. There are two rooms right across from where you're going to get your food that you can eat in. Or if you're one of the folks that are camped out at the round tables back there, please feel free to stay there and eat. That's kind of our process for today. Or if you'd like to go upstairs and eat on the balcony, you may do that as well. So we have quite a few places to eat, but again, please try to stay orderly. And if there's any seats, you know, move in. Try to make sure everybody gets a chance. We're all about fairness here. Finally, the sign-in and name tags. I know most of you have signed in. If you haven't gotten a chance to yet, please make sure you check off your name outside. Grab your name tag right here. And when you're done with your name tags at the end of the day, please deposit right in the bin over there. And finally, once the presentations are going on, we have doors over there that are just a nuisance for everybody. So if you need to step out real quick, the far exit back there, please feel free to go and that way. That way we don't distract everybody. That's quite the nuisance. But other than that, I think it's going to be a great event. Again, you know, many thanks to Professor Bobby Sand, and welcome to Vermont Law School. And now it is my honor to introduce the President and Dean of Vermont Law School, Mr. Dean Mahaly.
Aren't our students great? I can't follow the act with the composting toilets. So welcome to South Royalton. Welcome to Vermont Law. You know, Vermont Law School is a national law school. We amongst the 200-some law schools, were number fifth or number sixth in the nation in terms of how many states we draw from and send back to. And we're number one ranked in environmental law. But first and foremost, we are Vermont's law school. And it is absolutely, I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm delighted that this conference is taking place here. And I think this is an unusual and special group of people. I think gathered here is pretty much every actor in the criminal justice system, with the possible exception, I hope, of the objects of the criminal justice system. But I especially want to note that our friend, our good friend, Chief Justice Paul Reiber, either is or will be here shortly, as is Jeff Crawford, Justice Crawford, the welcome to the bench and to Vermont Law School. Also, our friend and a tireless fighter for causes that we believe in, Bill Sorrell. Bill, I'm delighted you're here. These are accomplished people, and amongst their major accomplishments are honorary degrees at Vermont Law School, as to Justice Reiber and Attorney General Sorrell. And we have here amongst you, look around, you've got 16 judges, including the Chief Judge of the Courts, my friend Amy Davenport. Amy's out there somewhere. And we have 8 state's attorneys here, I guess, plus Bobby. I think we're well represented in terms of our Senate and House. We have 9 representatives here. We have 2 senators here. And as I said, every other actor almost in the system. I just want to say that I'm really grateful to Bobby Sand and proud. We're proud to provide support for and a locus for his work as senior policy and legal advisor for the Vermont Department of Public Safety. And I'm thankful to the governor for having the foresight to appoint him. We're working with Bobby. Our technology department created the Innovative Criminal Justice Practices website, which is now live, and we will launch the inaugural Vermont Innovative Practices newsletter, or VIP newsletter. I think it's really, there are times when a conference is a waste of time. How many times have you been to a conference where you go, you leave, and you really ask yourself, did I learn anything? Did I actually get a new idea? And the answer is no. That's not the case with this conference, because as Bobby said, there are careful, thoughtful, innovative practices out there, and they just aren't evenly distributed. So when you have an evolving situation where you have new things happening, that's a perfect time to get everybody together to identify them, to analyze them, to try to identify the evidence-based practices that we need in order to enhance the criminal justice system. And so learn from each other in this conference. It's really great you're here. Vermont Law School is known nationwide for its embrace of innovation, and so we're proud to host this conference and hope this is an annual event. We have Governor Shumlin with us, and he's about to speak to you. He doesn't need an introduction. He's actually demonstrated a commitment to effective approaches to criminal justice, not simply, you know, the platitudes that we've seen again and again get tough on crime. And it's evident from his forward-thinking views about drug policy and the critical need for effective treatment for addicts and his sustained focus on reducing recidivism. I just want to add something personal, Governor, from Vermont Law School. Irene was very difficult for everyone in the state, but it was particularly difficult here. We, as you can see, we're close to the river. We lost our entire computer system. We lost a building. We lost a lot. But more important, many of our employees and professors lived near here, and they were isolated. They were isolated for days and days. And Governor Shumlin was on the ground and in the air in all corners of the state surveying the damage, and especially right here in South Royalton. And his leadership was instrumental in getting aid needed to the communities that needed it. And we were one of those communities, and we won't forget it. So thank you. And with that, please come forward.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. A huge thank you to Dean Mahaley and the whole team at Vermont Law for hosting this conference. I got to give a shout out to Bobby Sand for his ability to, I don't know how many masters he has. I personally thought I was the boss. I've heard Professor Sand, I've heard State's Attorney. I want you to know he's working for us now. He's ours. Leave him alone. But only Bobby could pull together a group with the help of, I want to point out that I think his students did most of the work. So Arwin and Drew, in collaboration with Arwin and Drew, have done an extraordinary job pulling this together. And I know that you have all been acknowledged, but as I looked around the room here and look at the legislators, the judges, the lawyers, the advocates, the state's attorneys, the law school students who are going to be our future, we hope, prosecutors, folks from the justice centers and staff and volunteers, we could really make a difference in coming out of this conference with some bold and innovative ideas. And I thought maybe it would be helpful to just mention, as I go around the state, and I suspect that I'm one of the people that talks to more Vermonters in a year than most, I hope. Just give a little of perspective from the governor what your mission is today and what our mission is going forward, and how critical this gathering is in terms of creative solutions to a challenge that I would say we are miserably failing at right now, miserably failing. So what do I mean? If you had told me as a kid growing up in Vermont, going to school in Vermont, raised in Vermont, raising my kids in Vermont, if you just said to me 10 or 15 years ago that, you know, if someone had whispered in my ear, you know, Peter, you're going to have the privilege of being governor of the greatest state in the country, and when you are, one of the biggest problems that you'll be facing is heroin and opiate addiction and drug addiction, I would have said, really? And the crime that comes from that? and the change of life that will come to Vermont if we don't figure out a way to be more creative about where we're failing. And I know there's some creative folks in this room that are doing some bold things. The question is how we can take that boldness and be bolder together in a statewide approach to a crisis that, if we don't get it right very soon, will change the quality of life in Vermont. Just last week, I had the pleasure of going down to Rutland to cut the ribbon on the new opiate treatment center in Rutland. And as I was driving down, I called one of my friends because I had, you know, one of those rare moments between Montpelier and Rutland where you have cell service and a doubly rare moment where I had a chance to just call a friend because I didn't have other calls to make. So when you're a governor, you don't take very good care of your friends. So I called my buddy that I've known for years, Larry Cash down in Brattleboro. And I just said, hey, just checking in. What's going on? He said, ah, had a bad day. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, I left my bag in my car, which I always do. I've been working in Brattleboro, raised in Brattleboro, lived there all my life. Someone popped the window in the parking lot in the back of his office, grabbed the iPad, grabbed the whole bag, but took the iPad, took the watch, took anything of value, and he was happy that they left behind his passport and some papers he needed. And I connected that conversation with my travels to this extraordinary new facility. Dozens and dozens of treatment rooms being built, all with beautiful light. A drive-in window like you have at a bank, where you can pick up your medicine that, with some hope, will keep you off of the most addictive substance you can possibly imagine. And I thought to myself, you know, what are we doing here? How can we be getting this so wrong? It took us 10 years to get that opiate addiction treatment center up. It's really easy for us as a state to say, not in my backyard for treatment, not in my backyard. But at the same time, we seem to say, but we'll shrug our shoulders on our front yards for addiction. And then you think about the math of this challenge. I'm an entrepreneur, so give this one a little thought. If you can buy a substance for $2, $3 a bag in Chicago, in Brooklyn, Philadelphia, and you can drive it in your automobile for 4 or 5 hours and turn that same bag for $20, you know, a lot of people work hard, but you could get rich pretty fast. Let's be honest about this. So what do? You give it away when you get here. If you give it away for 2 weeks, you're addicted. Then you have a pretty interesting clientele. They need you badly. And the way the math works in Vermont at $20 a bag, it costs you roughly $90,000 a year. $90,000 a year before food, before shelter, before sneakers for the kids, before food on table, to support that addiction. Now, $90,000 a year. That's a lot of my buddy's iPads. That's a lot of broken windows. That's a lot of kicked in doors. That's a lot of stealing you got to do. So when we talk about this challenge and we see with the speed that we're losing the battle, and what will happen to our quality of life in this state, since we know that security, safety, neighborhood, sticking together, taking care of each other, raising our kids in the safest place in the land, I mean, think about what that means. And we know that it's not just the low-income areas of our downtowns. Remember, a lot of folks think it's the folks there, you know, at the north end of Burlington. I tell you, it's on Spear Street, too. It's not Canal Street in Brattleboro. Sure it is. but it's Oak Street too. So, you know, we got the smartest minds in the state right here on a problem that we're botching pretty bad. So what's at the root of it? We know what's at the root of it. I talked about this one passionately because as a kid who learns differently, had a terrible time learning how to read in a state before we had special education and you know, IEPs, barely got through the education system with my self-esteem intact. If my parents hadn't been teachers, if I hadn't had a teacher that really saw something in me that other teachers didn't see, you know, I can guarantee I wouldn't be standing before you here as governor, because I couldn't read, and it really helps to be able to read if you're a governor. I know in Vermont, as you look around the rest of the country with all the Tea Party governors I serve with, you hear that some of their policies and their ideas, you'd think they can't read, but they can, and they do. But here's my point. Here's my point. I say to you today, it is more likely than not that if I grew up in Vermont today, I'd be one of those kids. Lose your self-esteem. You go to the back of the class. You lose your self-confidence. You start to act up. I did all those things. You drop out. You're on the streets. You're with Keith Flynn. My commissioner was here pretty shortly. And then what do we do? We spend $54,000 to $56,000 on me a year, keeping me locked up as long as we think we can, until I get out. And then there's no real adequate way to deal with my addiction, so pretty soon I'm right back in. So the corrections budget in this state is doubling every 10 years. It's the only thing that's growing as fast as our health care costs. We can't build our way out of it. Can't. There's just no way. And they're destined to a life of addiction and crime when they could be productive members of Vermont's workforce. So we're not talking about them. We're talking about us. And if you can raise your hand in this room and tell me that you don't have a family member, a friend, a neighbor, someone you know well that's struggling with addiction, you must come from a mighty teeny family or I want to meet you. So my point is, it's all of us. We're in this one together. And I am open as a governor to taking risk, which most politicians aren't, to being told we were wrong when we tried to get it right, to changing the parameters and the assumptions that we've always made so that we turn this around, not tomorrow, not someday, but starting this year. We've got to do it. So I ask you today, be honest, be bold, let's come up with a comprehensive plan, let's figure out what's working, and you've got some folks in this room who are doing extraordinary stuff. T.J. Donovan up in Chittenden County, I personally believe, has some great ideas that we should be adopting across the state. We have things that aren't working so well, let's be honest about those. Let's look at the big picture. We will spend $148 million this year on corrections, locking up many nonviolent offenders. But hey, you know, when a governor says, if we invest early, we won't have to invest later on. Early child education, 0 to 8, is just as important as high school education and primary school education and higher education. If we are willing to say, let's have an assessment when they're arrested. The time when you arrest them is the time you're most likely to get them to agree to treatment. But our system doesn't do that. We sit around. We lock them up. We think about it. We put them through a system. By the time they get ready to plead, it's too late in many cases. So let's think about it from soup to nuts, beginning to end, put together what's working, throw out what's not, be bold. I will take the risks with you, because I would argue that the biggest risk that we have in this state right now is continuing to do what we've always done. Thank you so much.